One, two, three, four, five, six.
We're a thousand miles from comfort. We could travel land and sea. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hey, it's Gracie,
Sarah,
and Josie
from the Girl Scout Troop 1819, Coxsackie, Athens. And you're listening to
WGXC
ACRA at 90.7 FM.
Keep on being you.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports. There are updates. And updates. There are numbers.
Hi, I'm Kelly from the Camp Hudson Media Group. We are back on the radio at WGXC after a long break during the COVID-19 pandemic. Tune in to hear all about the Camp Hill TV show Cooking with Friends at 6 p.m. Monday, November 1st on WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul on October 28th signed three bills intended to close loopholes in the state's gun law. The new laws prohibit the sale of anonymous ghost guns, prohibit making or possessing real weapons made to look like child's toys, and prohibit the possession of unfinished gun frames and receivers by anyone other than a licensed gunsmith. Hochul said, and I quote, "We're just getting started and we're not going to stop until we know that every New Yorker feels safe and secure and that individuals do not feel that their only option in life is to turn to crime," end quote. Two other bills focused on researching gun violence were also delivered to her on October 27th, but she has not yet signed those into law. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Raymond Pignone rounds up election information for Columbia Green Media about the 9 candidates from Catskill running for 4 seats on the Green County Legislature. Neva E. Wartell is running on the Democratic and Working Families and is a WGXE volunteer programmer. She says she is running for her first elective office on a, and I quote, Green New Deal, end quote, with key issues including, and I quote, housing, food, and health care, expanding our infrastructure, creating viable employment, and revitalizing our agricultural sector, end quote. Linda Overbar is an incumbent running on the Republican and conservative ballot lines. Overbar is a former real estate broker and business owner and says when asked what the top issue in the county is, and I quote, I look for ways to provide essential services and use county resources for desirable economic growth, end quote. Matthew Lavera is an incumbent running on the Republican and conservative lines, and the newspaper does not disclose that they distribute his video program. He says, and I quote, promoting business growth, local history, and tourism to benefit Greene County, end quote, is the top issue in the election. Jack Keller is an incumbent on the Republican and conservative lines. He is a former owner of Pit Stop Discount Beverages and worked in advertising for Young Broadcasting, Clear Channel, and Turner Broadcasting. Asked about the top issues in the campaign, he responded, and I quote, I have worked cooperatively with the village, town, and county officials, and I will continue to do that, end quote. Jeff Friedman is the executive director of Greene County Chamber of Commerce, running on Democrat and Catskill United lines. He says the top issue is, and I quote, the need for a comprehensive and well-executed economic development plan to create good-paying jobs, sustainable industries that are resilient and positioned for future growth, and will help attract families to come live and work here, end quote. Melanie Flannery is running on the Working Families line, but did not provide the newspaper with any information about her campaign. Doreen Davis is a former Catskill Town Supervisor and retired pharmaceutical executive running on the Democrat and Catskill United lines. She says, and I quote, if we examine the communities around us, Coxsackie, Athens, Cairo, Greenville, you will see significant investment either through work with the federal or state government or through the attraction of private investors, end quote. While Catskill waits for action at the thruway exit site, Monique Chestnut is running on the Democrat and Working Families line, but did not provide any information to the newspaper. Michael Bulich is an incumbent and the owner of the Bulich Mushroom Farm, running on the Republican and conservative lines. He says the top issue in the election is, and I quote, standing with property owners and business owners over government growth, end quote. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup that the Department of Environmental Conservation claimed on October 28th that there would be no long-term environmental effects from a massive scrapyard fire the day before at the Port of Coimans. An air quality warning was issued for Columbia County on October 27th because of smoke from the large scrap metal fire at Eastern Metal Recycling. Fire department in Hudson was dispatched to Columbia Memorial Hospital because of the smell of the smoke, which turned out to be from the Coimans fire. A DEC statement read, and I quote, DEC coordinated with state and local fire crews to monitor the scene and contain runoff from firefighting efforts. No long-term impacts to the environment are anticipated, end quote. The town of Coimans released its own statement explaining how officials thought the fire began. The statement said, and I quote, fire started in a scrap metal pile consisting of crushed cars, appliances, and light scrap metal. It is suspected that a battery in one of the crushed cars has shorted and started the fire. The fire originated deep in the scrap pile and spread throughout the pile. There was not any activity in the area at the time of the fire. No hot work or welding, end quote. You can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Drummer Hamid Drake joined the Polish jazz band Hira for a raucous concert in Krakow, and we'll hear their collision of global influences on the next Deep Threes. Plus, tracks from Juju, Jennifer Coe, and Mono Lake. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is the sound of Radio Wonderland, the Saturday morning show made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, and I'm the host. I'm not the host. The show is just me slicing up at the radio stations. The show has no host. You're the host. You're the host. Listeners like you make this station possible, where art, news, and voices of the local community are all in the mix. See if you can give a little bit regularly, like $5 a month, about 17 cents a day, which is a cup of coffee. If you have a time machine, knowing the money is coming in is the only way to stop fund drives. Go to WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 and keep community radio alive.
You have tuned into the WGXC 10th Anniversary Radio for Open Ears Pledge Drive, and we are trying to sign up about 50 or so folks to become sustaining supporters at WGXC. You can go to wgxc.org/donate if you want to do that. Sustaining supporters provide a monthly sum, say 17 cents a day, $5 a month, and give WGXC a reliable source of funds to plan for the future and make sure that we can keep creative community radio voices on the air. These are the people from your neighborhood that make radio on WGXC. The people from your neighborhood, you get to overhear their conversations, their issues, their points of view. You get to hear how other people think about local issues and talk about local issues. You get to hear people play music you've never heard before or music you've forgotten how much you loved. That's what community radio is all about. It takes a neighborhood to make community radio station. And WGXC is a neighborhood full of all different types of people, from teenagers talking about the books they've read and their stories and songs, to senior citizens playing their favorite songs and singing along on the radio as they play them. WGXC has broadcasters in Lexington and Catskill and Hudson and Germantown and Chatham and Nassau and Surprise and Palinville. And we hope you consider making a pledge at WGXC.org today to keep the people in your neighborhood on the radio, on the air. These are the people in your neighborhood at WGXC.org/donate. You can also call 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org/donate and make a donation today. Become a sustaining supporter to help the people from your neighborhood keep broadcasting another 10 years on 90.7 FM, the one sliver of the public radio dial that's actually accessible to the public.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of AJ of Whitestone, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice. The world's only 12-hour strong man on the air. Here on We Love Radio.
À ceux qui n'en ont pas. À ceux qui n'en ont pas. Rosa. Rosa, quand on fout le bordel, tu nettoies. Et toi, Albert, quand on trinque, tu ramasses les verres. Céline, Bataire, toi tu te prends des vestes au vestiaire. Arlette, arrête, toi la fête, tu la passes aux toilettes. Et si on célébrait ceux qui ne célèbrent pas? Pour une fois, j'aimerais lever mon verre à ceux qui n'en ont pas.
à ceux qui n'en ont pas.
Quoi les bonnes manières? Pourquoi je ferais semblant? De toute façon, elle est payée pour le faire. Tu te prends pour ma mère? Dans une heure je reviens, que ce soit propre, qu'on puisse y manger par terre. 3 heures que j'attends. Franchement, il est fabrique ou quoi? Heureusement que c'est que de faire. Appelle-moi ton responsable et fais vite, elle pourrait se finir comme ça, ta carrière. Oui, célébrons ceux qui ne célèbrent pas. Encore une fois, j'aimerais lever mon verre à ceux qui n'en ont pas. À ceux qui n'en ont pas. Ceux qui ne célèbrent pas. Encore une fois, j'aimerais lever mon verre à ceux qui n'en ont pas. À ceux qui n'en ont pas. Pilote d'avion ou infirmière, chauffeur de camion, hôtesse de l'air, boulanger ou marin pêcheur, un verre aux champions des pires horaires, aux jeunes parents bercés par les pleurs, aux insomniaques de profession, et tous ceux qui souffrent de peine de cœur, qui n'ont pas le cœur aux célébrations. Qui n'ont pas le cœur aux célébrations.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I'm the real director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson, but I'm moving to Stockbridge.
Hi, I'm Jada. And Georgia is not the real director of the Hudson Area Library, Emily.
I went to different.
And I'm from Philadelphia, but I moved to Queens, then Manhattan, then here in Hudson.
I'm Jay. I'm 17, and I live in Philmont.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things. Speaking of bookish things.
What? Are you talking about a bookish art contest? Oh, what?
Oh, we need to talk. I get it. So, Georgia, would you like to tell us about a book that you've been reading?
Sure. So, one of my best friends, Molly, she's probably like my other best friend other than AJ. So, Molly is obsessed with the Percy Jackson series. I read the first book when I was 7 with the read aloud. I did not like it too much at the time, but then I reread it on my own recently. I really liked it. And then currently I'm in the process of reading the second book. I really have gotten to like it. After much pressuring, I finally read Percy Jackson, to Molly's content. And then I was like, oh, I'm just gonna do this for one of my best friends. And I actually ended up really liking it. So I'm going to share the first book. I have to do the description online because I don't have the physical book right now. So pretty much The Lightning Thief, the first book, is the book one series of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. It's book one of the series, and it's by Rick Riordan. And I'm currently in the process of reading book two, The Sea of Monsters. So this one is really good. I'd probably rate it a 99 out of 100. So
that's really, a really good score.
Yes, that's the best score I've given a book so far. Well, actually, like, the second best. The first best was my favorite book.
That's the best score you've given your book so far. My score is breaking the score chart out of 100 for almost all the books that I've ever read.
So, this book is really good, and it's about 12-year-old Percy Jackson, and I feel like if I give a proper description, I'm going to spoil it all. So I will just read the actual description. 12-year-old Percy Jackson is on the most dangerous quest of his life. With the help of a satyr and a daughter of Athena, Percy must journey across the United States to catch a thief who has stolen the original weapon of mass destruction, Zeus's master bolt. Along the way, he must face a host of mythological enemies determined to stop him. Most of all, he must come to terms with the father he has never known, an oracle that has warned him of a betrayal by a friend. This is rated on the Rick Riordan website, ages 10 plus, but honestly, I disagree. I think that it's more ages like 8 to, though I is a pretty advanced reader for my age at 8. I feel like 8-year-olds might like this though. So I'd probably say ages 8 to 15. It's mostly a young adult's book. I mean, it's supposed to be, but it's not inappropriate. It's appropriate for younger kids. By the way, we should do an ASMR Bound by Books episode one day where we just whisper everything, because whispering on Zoom or like video, it's very relaxing. And then we can like play with slime while we do it and just have a full ASMR episode so ears can just calm down. And then by then, they'll be sleeping.
What if they're driving?
Well, it'll just relax them.
Okay.
I would rate
too relaxed.
Age rating for the Percy Jackson series, I would definitely do older, because once you get past the first book, it gets a little bit, you know, older, kind of.
Gory?
Once you get past
a little smoochy?
Yeah, just like it gets a little bit, you know, older. I definitely want to rate it 8+, because after the first book, it gets a little.
I'll say the first book is 8+, but once I read the rest of the books, I'll give an update. I'll give an update on what age is book 2 is, what age is book 3. So pretty much what can happen. These are lengthy books, so kids can just like read one a year as they grow older. So it'd be like 9+, 10+, 8+, 10+, I mean 8+, 9+, 10+, 11+, 12+, 13+, 14+, 15+, 16+.
Are there even that many books in the series?
Yeah.
I guess if you include all the like spin-offs.
Yes, AJ, have you read the Percy Jackson series? You would love
it. I started to read the first book, but it just didn't interest me, so.
A book not interesting, AJ?
Well, you have no idea how many books I flip through at home till I find the one I actually want to read. It's just that I keep on reading the same book so often, it looks like I'm always reading different books. That's not true. I just keep on reading the same books or same
story. I quote from AJ, there has almost never been a book I didn't like.
Almost then.
Thank you for sharing that book that you liked very much. So what about Jay? Do you have a book you want to talk about?
I have one. My bag of mysterious books.
Bag of mysterious books.
I did read a lot of books, but yeah, probably wouldn't like them. Oh yeah, Big Night is a good one.
I love Big
Night. I've never read the Big Night series.
Really, it's good.
Do you like the comic ones more or the chapter book ones?
I like
comics.
You like both, Jay?
I actually didn't read any books.
Jay has a bag full of books.
I have a lot
that
of
are to be
there.
Read.
I got this.
When the World Was Ours. I read that book over the summer by Liz Kessler. And Free Verse by Sarah Dewey. What made you pick out these books?
These look like they're going to be sad, so I'm good for it. I'm here for it.
So you like a good sad book? Mm-hmm. And then you've got, two Holly Blacks.
I read this one.
The Cruel Prince and The Wicked King.
I just got this one.
And that's part of a series.
I didn't really like it, but it got me into it, so.
You didn't really like it, but you're going to keep reading them. Yeah. Cool. Those are fantasy?
Yeah.
YA?
Yeah.
What's the series about?
I'll read the description for this one.
Okay.
Jude was 7 when her parents were murdered, and she and her two sisters were still on the way to live in the treacherous High Court of Fairy, whatever. 10 years later, Jude wants nothing more than to belong there, despite her mortality. But many of the Fae despise humans, especially Prince Cardin, the youngest and wickedest son of the High King. So when a place at the court, she must defy him and face the consequences. Yeah, that's the end. 14 plus. There's a lot of gory stuff, so 14 plus.
13 hearts, so you are way past that.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, 17 at heart. Or no, you were 18 at heart yet? When was you have a birthday, don't you?
Oh, yeah, now I'm 18 at heart.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday to Jada as well, although I did wish Jada a happy birthday.
Yes, I went to her birthday party.
Very nice.
I was talking about now.
Yay, question. So, Jay, what was I going to say? Oh, right. Is there anything that you would, I mean, of course, before you were 18, that you would want to do that your parents wouldn't let you before you were 18?
Probably, like, drive. I wasn't allowed to do that before I was 18. You know, even though you can legally drive at 16, I wasn't actually allowed to do that at 17, but now I am because I'm 18, of course. Oh,
very nice.
What else?
I can, I have a bank account now.
Nice.
18.
Yes. I'm more 6 at heart than I'm more 6 at heart and then 10 at heart at the same time. I'm like 8 at heart.
Average out, 8 at heart.
I'm like 6 at heart. Instead of like what some kids my age do where they're like, oh, hello there, dear. The younger kids, I don't like be like to the younger kids. I don't really care about age as long as they're kind and they're fun to play with. I'll do stuff with them. So like.
You're really ageless at heart.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm kind of, I don't know. I would say I'm actually kind of 10 at heart. My age fits my personality, but like I hang out with a lot of younger kids a lot of the time. I mostly hang out with like third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, and occasionally second graders. I have a lot of friends in sixth grade, including AJ and Isla and Tulsi and Gemma. And yeah, I could go on and on. Like, actually, I think 50% of my friends are in sixth grade, so.
Speaking of your friend Jada. Jada, do you have a book you want to talk about?
This book that I've been sneakily reading for the entire Zoom. It's
not sneaky to me.
To everyone else, because they can't see us. So, this is a graphic novel version of The Babysitter's Club. There are two versions of it. One of them is illustrated by Gail Galligan, which is the version that I'm reading now, and the other versions are illustrated by Raina
Telgemeier.
Finally, I couldn't pronounce her last name. She's the author of Smile and many other books, and what I like about it is I couldn't really understand the other ones because they didn't have so many pictures in them, and I find it's easier to follow along with the characters if I see them. And also, the pictures in the graphic novel for expressions are very, very, very funny sometimes.
So which one are you reading now?
I'm reading the sixth one in the series, Christie's Big Day, where her mother and stepfather getting married, and a twist which I will not mention, otherwise I will spoil the book completely.
Say it. I'll say
no.
It.
No.
I'll just say
it. I remember that one.
Speaking of bookish things,
so the
have you seen the Netflix series of Babysitter's Club? It's pretty.
Yes, cool. Season 2 just came out. I binge watched it.
I watched it the second it came out. I literally sat there and I binged the whole thing, like the whole day.
I binged the first season, but then I've been slowly starting the second season.
Oh wait, you've watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the second one is good, but they replaced the actress who played Dawn with a different one.
Yeah, I think she had a movie conflict or something.
Yeah, it's like a Marvel movie. She got offered a prominent role, so yeah. But like, the new person is nice, but like, she doesn't have the same Dawn energy. It just doesn't click. Also, a lot of the characters' appearances dramatically changed. And it looks like they're wearing more makeup than like was supposed to be like a month before that. They're wearing like a million more times makeup. And it's like, what the heck? So they grew like 5 years in a month.
That's Ada. I didn't see her for a year and now she's taller than me.
Even my mom says that I'm taller than she last saw her and I see her like every day.
Guess what? I got to keep all my third grade clothes. Well, most of them, like the pants were too small because my legs grew like 2 inches, but otherwise nothing else grew.
I'm going to share two things. One thing is that this is the last weekend of the library, the Hudson Area Library's book art themed, wait, what is it? Book themed art contest. So we're encouraging young people 18 and under to draw a piece of art that is inspired by a book, any book whatsoever, and then submit their artwork to the library. And then they might win a prize. They might be able to get in the calendar that we're going to put out this year.
How do you hand them in?
You say, here you go, librarians. You just bring it to the library.
Cool, I want to do that. No, not that good.
You can do it. You might surprise yourself. I know our friend Jada has entered the art contest and we have a few other entries. We're eagerly awaiting all the other submissions. So
I'm going to enter, but I don't know how I'm going to pull it off because I'm going to use my own book. But to do that, I have to finish my book and I'm only halfway through 18 out of 32 pages. So I am just going to, the past few days, I've just been like scribbles. Yet after all that, I only got like 2 pages done. Because I put a lot of work. There are a lot of bubbles. So I'm really going to need to step up my game. Honestly, I don't think I can even pull it off. But I'm going to at least try my best. What I might do is I might like sketch out the artwork before I finish. My top priority will be finish the book. I might do some sketches or just brainstorm. And then once I finish the book officially, I will go and officially like draw it. I will go and draw it. I might brainstorm and sketch before.
Yeah. So all the young artists out there like Jada and Georgia and perhaps Jay, you didn't seem totally committed on your artistry, but should look up on HudsonAreaLibrary.org for details. But basically just do any kind of artwork on paper. So it could be a painting, it could be crayons, it could be colored pencils, it could be ink, it could be pencil, whatever you want, collage, inspired by a book in some way. And you can enter the contest. We hope you'll all submit and make some art. The second thing I wanted to talk about is that this is also the last weekend of the fall pledge drive for WGXC, which is our beloved radio station, our community radio station that we love so much and that has been so gracious to give youth voices space on the radio for over 10 years, including Bound by Books. And we're trying to do our part to help raise money to keep WGXC on the air for another year and more. And we're encouraging people out there listening to make a donation to WGXC. And specifically, if you're able to become a sustaining monthly donor, where you give a certain amount each month so that WGXC can rely on that source of income every month, month to month.
Can you donate anytime or do you have to do it just during the pledge drive?
You can donate anytime. We're definitely doing a push to try to get as many people to pledge or donate during the pledge drive, but WGXC collects donations all throughout the year.
Great.
Especially from the monthly donors because we give a donation every month to the radio station.
I'm going to become a monthly donor soon.
Yay.
So you can call and donate at 518-697-7400, or you can donate online at wgxc.org/donate.
Yeah, we hope everyone listening will either call or go online and donate. If you do go online, you can look around at the site. You can read news. You can learn about all the different shows on WGXC. You can also go to the audio archives and listen to past shows on WGXC. So you can listen to all of the Bound by Books that they have in their archive going back many, many years. You can see what all of us sounded like when we were younger.
Not me. I only began in 2021.
You were younger though.
Only like half a year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I look a little.
You were technically younger.
Older because I started wearing dangly earrings, I guess.
Yes. As soon as Georgia started wearing dangly earrings, her voice just totally changed on the radio. But yeah, so we're going to wrap it up for the day. But a reminder to call in and make your pledge or go online and make your pledge, 518-697-7400, wgxc.org/donate. We really want WGXC and Bound by Books to stay on the airwaves forever and ever and ever.
And ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never.
And we can't do it without the help of our devoted, generous listeners.
So one day when this planet blows up and all human life is there'll still be like cars floating in space saying, "You're listening to Bound by Books." Wait, no, it'd be like, "You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.FM.
I can't believe the robots are stealing our gig.
No, it'd be just Robot Emily.
They're taking over me? No. Okay.
Well, anyway. Wouldn't matter to take over me because I speak and then head in book.
Well, we want to thank our listeners for listening, because that's what listeners do. But thank you for listening today. And thank you to all the co-hosts for joining us today. And we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.
Sorry.
Bye. I stole it.
That's what I wanted you to steal it.
You're right.
I wanted you to steal it.
Snowball fight. Hey.
आप खान हैं, आप मेरा प्यार करते हैं। पहले दिन रुदन चाय की बंसी बजाई है, क्या कहिए, जो अभी तक मेरी ड्यूटी टाइट है।
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles, alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC. I'm also here to remind you that it's Pledge Drive season. You can help out the station by becoming a sustaining supporter for as little as $5 a month, with programs that range from new music like Crawl Out from the Fallout to local chat, news, and experimental programs that push the very boundaries of broadcasting. I've never been a part of a more eclectic and invigorating bunch of folks who share the aim to turn radio into art, and it's honestly one of the beacons that drew me to the Hudson area in the first place. It's a vital link to the neighborhood, and a voice for Hudson beyond its borders. You can donate from October 17th through October 31st in celebration of 10 years, and with an aim for 10 more. You can donate at wgxc.org/donate to make a pledge. And tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every month here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Are listening. You're listening to 90.7. WGXC Acre Catskills. Today. East Durham. Catskills.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Jennifer Wilson, who is the Deputy Director of the New York State League of Women Voters. And on Election Day, November 2nd, there will be five propositions on the ballot that voters get to vote upon. We did have NYPERG and Common Cause on recently to talk about their positions on ballot 1-5. Certainly a lot of attention has been paid to proposition number 2, which would establish a constitutional right to clean and healthy environment in New York. But there's also a lot of discussion around proposition 1, which talks about amending the apportionment and redistricting process every 10 years in New York State after the census figures out how many people live and where. We have to redraw the lines, particularly for the state legislature and Congress. At least that's done by the state legislature. Counties and cities do them themselves. And I thought I was going to start with a brief read-in of proposal number one, but the summary alone on the Board of Elections webpage runs for over 2 pages. It's an incredibly long thing. But Jennifer, thank you for joining us. And maybe you could both start off by saying, what exactly does proposal number one do?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me. It does a lot of things, which is why the summary is so long. But you can really break down what the changes are into changes that are not controversial. So changes that are already in state statute, changes that are already required by the U.S. Constitution, basically things we have to do. And then the controversial changes. And the controversial changes are all related to the process of the commission when voting on maps, and then the legislature when voting to approve the commission's proposed maps.
Now, 10 years ago, last time this issue was addressed, Governor Cuomo largely sort of cut a deal with the Senate Republicans. The Senate was controlled by the Republicans, the Assembly controlled by the Democrats, and traditionally the Senate redrew the lines to make sure more senators from the Republican Party get elected, and the Assembly redrew the lines to try to get more Democrats elected. And the governor allowed that to go forth 10 years ago, but they put together a new constitutional changes to try to make the redistribution process a little less partisan, a little bit more, really trying to group people together based on geography and, sense of community. Why is the legislature thinking that, we're going through the process right now, not exactly working particularly well, but why so quickly coming back to the voters asking them to change the process?
Well, as you point out, the last time around, the Senate was controlled by Republicans, the Assembly by Democrats, and the Assembly is still controlled by Democrats, but now the Senate is also controlled by Democrats. And the original provision included some language to make sure that the minority party, whoever the minority party may have been at that time, would still have input into the mapping process, even if there was a single party controlling both the Senate and Assembly. This provision will remove those protections for the minority parties. And I'm saying parties because it's not just Republicans, it's the other parties as well. Green Party, Working Families Party, Conservative Party, Libertarian Party. Basically, anyone who is not a Democrat would have been protected with the rules from the 2014 amendment. This new amendment will take away those protections and basically say it doesn't matter if who's in control. It doesn't matter who the other parties are. If we are the majority party, we can basically do whatever we want.
So I understand the Leeward voters is representing or recommending a no vote on proposal number one. You just obviously identified some of your concerns, but, I guess one other, do you want to articulate the other reasons you think the voters may want to reject this? And if this is rejected, are you satisfied with the present situation, or are there other reforms you would like to see to make the process even more independent?
Sure. And we are in favor of the majority of the reforms in here. So we're supportive of constitutionalizing, reapportioning people who are incarcerated back to their last residence. We're supportive of constitutionalizing, which is also already protected in the U.S. Constitution, but making sure that all people are counted regardless of their citizenship status. The main thing we're not supportive of is this idea of taking away the protections for other parties and essentially allowing one party to have control over the entire process. And the other thing we're not supportive of is redistricting is happening right now. We are right in the middle of the redistricting process. The commission is having hearings around the state. There's draft maps on the table. And there's really no reason to be doing this, tinkering with the rules in the middle of the process. There's absolutely no reason this needs to happen right now. The good thing should have happened years ago. The bad thing shouldn't happen at all. But that's basically our reason for opposing this amendment.
You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, but probably some of the listeners know I've been involved over the years with the Green Party. And in fact, all the third parties in New York State right now are, as you probably know, are suing the state legislature because the governor ran through a bill that largely gets rid of all the independent third parties and only allow the third parties like the Conservatives and the Working Families Party, which are appendages of the two major parties, to exist. I can't really say that any of these proposals actually gives any role to trying to, protect the smaller third parties. And I remember 20 years ago in Albany, the courts required the Albany County to redraw its line after the petitioning process was started. And in the city of Albany, the Democrats literally picked this one Green Party candidate and just moved her block across Central Avenue to a different district. So how do you see the small third parties actually being protected under the redistricting?
Sure. And, when I think of it, I really think of it as this idea of the factioning that's happening within the two major parties. So when we're talking about the two major parties, Democrats and Republicans, we don't have just middle of the line Democrats and Republicans anymore, not just here in New York State, but nationally. There's progressive Democrats, there's more socialist Democrats, and there's a lot of Democrats who align themselves with other minor parties like the Working Families Party or the Green Party. And we see the same thing on the Republican side. We see more conservative Republicans. We see more libertarian Republicans. When we are allowing a single party, a middle of the line party, these incumbent legislators who have essentially held these seats for decades, in some cases before I was even born, to draw the lines, to give them the power to have a majority vote a lot easier than they would before, we have the potential to box out these other candidates who maybe are Democrats or Republicans, but align themselves with other parties. And certainly in New York State, we're seeing this more than ever with so many progressive and socialist candidates running for Democratic lines in the Democratic primaries. And the incumbent senators and assembly members know these candidates are out there. A lot of them have already announced that they're going to be running next year. And we'd be very foolish to think that the incumbent Senate and Assembly Democrats do not have an interest to draw the lines to keep those new candidates from securing those seats.
Now, if people want to educate themselves both about all these five ballot provisions, but particularly about, number one, since that has good government groups a little bit divided. What are some of the resources, on Legal and Voters or elsewhere that people can go look at to educate themselves?
Sure. And we're opposed to this particular amendment, but we do have a lot of nonpartisan materials we created well before we took a position on any of the ballot proposals on our website, lwvny.org. Also on our online ballot site, vote411.org, where we have not only these five ballot proposals, pros and cons, a complete explanation of each of them, but also for some people, you might have local ballot propositions too that are on vote411.org that you can read all about, read the pros and cons, hear both sides of the story, and be ready when you're going to mark your ballot on election day.
Yeah, I will remark, people can go on to the mediacentury.org website, and we do have a story about proposition number 7 in the city of Albany, which actually relates to some what people would call improvements, changes to the Albany Civilian Police Review Board. But we want to thank Jennifer Wilson, Deputy Director of the New York State Legal and Voters, for joining us today. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hey there, I'm Brendan Donegan, host of the Playing Favorites show, heard on WGXE every Monday morning. A few weeks ago, I was driving through Hudson looking for a parking space and turned on the radio to hear a sad collection of teeny bopper tunes, stale oldies, and blustery call-ins. I eventually found 90.7 FM. The morning show was on, and Tom Rowe was playing some blazing hot rock and roll. It was Chris Forsythe, my latest guitar hero. Now, you won't hear Chris on other stations in Columbia or Greene counties. That's what's magical about WGXC. Tune in anytime and you'll likely hear something new and interesting. Did you know that for as little as $5 a month, you can help keep WGXC an oasis in a sonic desert? Just click donate at WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400 to keep creative community radio for open ears on the air for you.
Voting this year begins October 23rd and ends November 2nd with town post, countywide positions, 5 statewide ballot propositions, and a few state Supreme Court seats at stake. In Greene County, the Board of Elections on the fourth floor of the Greene County Office Building in Catskill is the only polling station October 23rd through Halloween. This year, Columbia County has 2 sites to vote between October 23rd and 31st. The Board of Elections office in the Columbia County Office Building in Hudson, and also the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Center in Valencia. The so-called early voting hours in both counties change every day from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, October 23rd, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, October 24th, noon to 8 p.m. on Monday, October 25th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Tuesday, October 26th, noon to 8 p.m. Wednesday, October 27th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, October 28th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday, October 29th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, October 30th, and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sunday, October 31st. Then traditional local voting spots are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. on November 2nd. Absentee ballots in this year's election can be mailed through November 2nd. One change in this election. A new state law passed in 2021 restores the right to vote for a person convicted of a felony upon release from incarceration, regardless if they are on parole or have a term of post-release supervision. If a convicted felon is not incarcerated, they are now eligible to register to vote in New York. Raymond Pignon from Columbia Greene Media rounds up information about the candidates running for seats on the new Baltimore Town Board. Thomasina Winslow, Shelley Van Eaton, and Kelly C. Downs are competing for 2 seats on the board. Winslow is a new Baltimore-based musician and music educator running on the Democratic and Working Families line on the ballot and attended university at Albany. Winslow was a board member of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Incorporated and the Tribe Hill Heritage Center. Winslow said, and I quote, "Transparency is a concern in that there really is not much communication. What I'm looking forward to accomplishing is having a positive, collaborative town board that works together to keep our community safe and forward-thinking," end quote. Van Eaton lives in New Baltimore and co-owns an excavating company and is running on the Republican and conservative lines and has been on the board since 2013. Van Eaton said, and I quote, "I think we need to address the infrastructure for Water District 2. We have received a grant to do so and are currently working on the project. We are also working to redo the parks," end quote. Van Eaton added, and I quote, "I am most proud of the work that we have done on the parks. It was a lot of work to get the grant money, but it is a major upgrade to our community, and I see people enjoying it all the time. I am also very proud of my veterans committee. We have had several picnics and luncheons for the veterans and always get a great turnout," end quote. Downs from Climax is a retired state internal auditor and is running on the Republican and conservative ballot lines and has been on the board since 2018. Downs said, and I quote, "I feel taxes are an issue for our landowners. Unfortunately, as a town board member, we cannot control taxes imposed by the state or the school districts. If I am elected, I will continue to work on reducing town taxes as we have done for the last 8 years," end quote. He added, and I quote, "With being an auditor, your mindset is always how to make the process better and more efficient and ensuring the safeguarding of town assets and monies. Along